Hello, everyone. Get the Queen's Club party started. My hair jacked right there. All right. Just came off of the tribe call. If any of you were there, we were rocking and rolling with some coaching on the tribe call. Let me get my stuff all organized here. I had to move my stuff around just a little bit. I was just shooting a video to put out about the public. People ask me all the time about Queen's Club and the Century Club and what are those and all the things. And so I just did a video that's going to be released in a little bit of what those things are, why we have them, and why they're special. So there you go. All right. So today is y'all's special coaching call. If you want to start raising your hand, and if you have a question, you can put it in the Q&A. We will get y'all started. Deanna, you're up first.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good, wonderful. Your mic sounds amazing. Like you're like when I have to turn it down, that means you got a good one.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah, there we go. All right, what are we coaching on?
Well, I've been working a lot on my thoughts about work.
Okay.
I've been in a career for many years that I know is not my life's work.
Well, it is your life's work since you've been there. It's been the life's work so far.
True. I guess it's just, I know I don't love it. I don't love it. That's what it is. I'm trying to make the best of it.
Good.
I cannot leave right now. I want to believe that I will be able to leave one day. So I'm working on that also, trying to believe.
I think one of the things I want to point out here that just to kind of on the first part is like, tell me, like, I want to believe I can leave it one day. How does that feel?
Better than.
I don't want to know if it's better than. I want to know what it actually feels like. I want to believe I can leave one day. How does that feel?
Okay. Just okay.
Feels okay.
Yeah.
Well, that definitely is going to generate some energy to being curious and open and working towards whatever else you want to do.
A bit of hope.
What if we had like all the hope in the world? What would be wrong with just being like, I will leave this job one day. It's just not today.
That does feel better. That does feel good.
That's why I was kind of asking, because I think a lot of us, like, we want to have, like, these, we hang on to these little trippy thoughts that really hose us, like, I want to believe I'm going to be able to leave one day. And it never is, like, it sounds better than a shitty thought.
Yeah.
But it doesn't really generate any kind of, like, traction for us.
Right. That's why I wanted to be coached on that. Yeah. Because it's like, if I can believe that, then I can start working towards it. And
it's not if you can believe that. It's like, you just have to like decide, I'm going to leave one day. It's not today. I have my reasons for staying today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I guess I had that I want to believe thing as a ladder. Because I don't yet believe, but
I think that's one of the things I want you to question. You really want to leave the job, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
Then let's just put energy and effort into a thought that gives you energy and effort to daydream and like think and do all the things about what you could do one day versus, well, I want to believe I could leave this shitty job one day that I don't love.
Yeah.
My latter thought is I just want to sit here and be like, womp womp about the job I have.
I will.
Let me ask you this. Have you done any work on like loving the job that you're in?
Yes. That is making it I want to say more bearable. And I am looking for moments of pleasure and enjoyment, and I am finding them. So that's good.
Well, that's one thing, but also, have you done any, like when I, like this is, I think, really important. When you know that what you're doing is not your life's work, it's kind of like, I think about my husband. He worked for a big company for 25 years. And the last 2 or 3 years, we both knew that his life's work was going to be here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He couldn't show up for 2 or 3 years and just grind. He still had to love that job. And so what we did was we didn't just look for moments in the job to appreciate. We tied the current job to the new job and how this job is what's going to set us up for that job. Like, what all does your job do for you now to make the future you possible?
Well, it gives me a lot of experience in teaching.
Okay.
And also it teaches me discipline and how to create my own routines and systems so I can do that in the future as well.
What about like in that future job? Like this is, I want to give you this concept. A lot of time when you're picturing your future life's work, do you know what it is?
I want to say, I believe that I would love being a life coach.
Okay. Let's just say I'm all in on being a life coach.
Okay.
Like one day I could see me doing that. I don't know how I'm going to get there. I don't know what that path may be, but I want to be a life coach.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say that's it. When you picture yourself life coaching, is it pretty good? Is it fulfilling?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Here's the problem. We all have a job in the future that's really fulfilling and really pleasurable and stuff, and we forget to picture the days that we don't want to show up for that one either.
Yeah, I was thinking
the days where that was disappointed too.
Right, I was thinking that. Yeah, that parts I don't like about this job are preparing me for the parts I won't like about that.
Like, tell me something about this job you don't like.
You know, it's funny. Motivating.
What is it?
Motivating people to do things they don't want to do.
Oh. Because my coaches never got to do that shit. Let me just let the secret out of the bag. If you don't like motivating people in this job, wait until you're a life coach. And you got to, like, teach them a model on top of it.
I guess it's because right now I don't believe in what I'm trying to motivate them to do, but I will believe in what I'm motivating clients to do.
Not necessarily.
No. Okay.
No. Some of y'all want to do some whack shit. I'm not joking.
Oh, I see what you mean. You mean I might not agree with what people want to do. I might not.
Like sometimes my brain, y'all say stuff and I'm like, what do you want to do? Like, I would never do that. I don't really believe in that shit, but it's not my job to believe in it.
I see what you mean.
My job is to teach you guys how to motivate. Just like your job is to teach people how to feel motivation. It's none of your business what that other part is. But I want you to see where, like, if I spend a lot of time really looking at what I'm doing each day and how that's going to apply over here to my future, you anchor what you're doing today as stepping stones to your goal. Right now, you're anchoring, this job is an anchor. Holding you back from that job. It's like, we're stuck in like a sand dune or something over here. I don't know what we're doing. But you want to take the anchor and you want to tie it to your dream. And so then when you're like thinking, I don't really believe in what I'm teaching, you will have days where that might come up again. And you work through that now. You know, there's another valuable part that this job is doing that you're forgetting all about. There's a reason why you're not leaving, and what is that?
Money.
Money. You know what it's doing? It's paying the down payment on the future every day. Keeps the house, keeps the food, keeps all the things going. This job's probably going to pay for the education to get that job.
Mm-hmm.
Like, right. When you really spend more time focusing on that rather than like, well, I'm really trying to believe like this job is not as bad as it is. I'm really working on appreciating this job. Like, don't get so caught up in it. Just do that.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing with like believing that you're going to have this like bigger purpose. It's like, I already have a bigger purpose. I'm doing it now. This is how this works with that.
Yeah, because whatever I am now, I'm going to bring into the future.
For sure. And here's the other thing. Everything, like, this is like Life Coach 101. Your best client is always you. If your brain's a mess, you can't coach someone else's brain. Because your brain's going to get in the way of their brain all the time.
That's what I've been trying to do, like coach myself through this so that I can help others maybe one day.
Okay, so here's what this is my best advice to you. I think you're on the right track. I want you to think about what it would be like for you to talk very confidently and actively about your future rather than very passively about it. There's like this, I'm afraid to talk about it this way because I don't believe that yet.
Mm-hmm.
But what is the worst thing that's going to happen if you just start declaring, I'm going to be a life coach. I know that's going to happen for me in the future. I don't need to believe that I can. I just am going to start talking about it like I'm going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any downside to that to you? Like in your head, do you have any downside to that?
No, other than the thought, you know, the thoughts that don't help me, like what, you know, people witnessing me saying that and then not happening. So who cares?
Well, you don't even have to tell anybody. I just want you to declare it internally first.
Yeah.
What if we just do it in Deanna's head before we start telling the world? We can tell the world whenever we're ready, but in your head, let's just convince ourselves first that we're doing it.
Yeah. Today, for the first time, you know the idea of a 5-year plan? I've heard about it many times, and it just occurred to me that it really is possible to have a plan, start it now.
Yes.
And maybe I could leave in 5 years.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't even occur to me that I could really do those steps, you know, until today.
Yeah. I will tell you, the more that you guys are willing to just absolutely start declaring your intention, making plans toward your intention, thinking like you're doing it, and then do some things about it, you end up getting there usually. And even if you don't, you end up like growing so much more, because every time you have to declare that you're doing this, like every time that you're actively planning and stuff, what happens is that you, like, it will bring up things like, well, what is everybody else going to think? Then you know what your next work is.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the reason why I'm declaring this and the reason why I'm going to make myself so uncomfortable thinking something before I don't believe it is so that I can see what's really going on underneath.
Hmm. Yeah. And in that process, I'm going to create myself anew.
Yeah. I love creating myself anew. I just about burn down this version of Corinne every year. Like I like was sitting there looking at, so every year I'm in self-coaching scholars. I teach over there and that kind of stuff. So I do the work every month to make sure that when it's my day to coach, I know what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. I get out my books and I look at my last year and where my mindset was and what was important to me and what I thought I could do and everything and what I would need to learn. I'm always shocked at how much stuff I learn about myself and how differently I think year after year. And it's not because Corinne is special unicorn. It's because Corinne literally does all the shit that she says for you guys to do. I read books. I listen to podcasts. I take notes. I study. I study myself. I do my thought downloads. I do my planning. I dream really big and worry and stress it won't happen at first because I don't know, like, oh my God, I'm gonna have to learn all this. I don't know any of that shit. What am I gonna be like? I throw myself into the panic and into the all of that. And then I just get to work. I don't think that when I'm not believing in myself or when I'm scared that something's going wrong. I always know that that is exactly when it's like, oh, this is the part where I get to understand what I got to work on next. I'm worried about what other people think again. Yeah. You know, let's do that.
That's the trick. That's the trick of knowing that, recognizing that and keep going. Don't let it stop you.
Right.
That's what it is. Yeah.
Did you do a coaching call recently with me?
Not recently, in the summer. But I did a coaching call with Betsy about this, about something similar.
Okay. Were you at camp recently or something?
No.
You are so familiar to me. I just can't even figure it out. So, all right. Maybe I just remember you from the summer and it's just like time flies.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I was just like, did we just recently have a call? Sylvia. Has the time been decided on the Facebook Live for tomorrow evening? Hey, Susan, let's target for like 6. What do you think? 6 p.m. Central Time? It'll be around that time. It's just depending on when me and the coaches get done. Valerie. Looks like Sylvia hung up on me. Y'all, don't forget, don't butt dial me. I get butt dialed more than anybody in the world. Hey, Valerie.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm really, really nervous. I didn't expect to be so nervous.
It's all right.
I'm good. It's really nice to finally talk to you. I've been part of the group since September.
Okay.
Yeah, so, and I've lost 37 pounds since January.
Good
so.
For you.
Pretty good. It still feels like a slog. Like, I still feel like I kind of hover around the same thing for a while before I move forward, but that's okay.
At least move forward, right?
Yeah, exactly. So the reason I wanted to get coached today, and my accountability partner was encouraging me to call in, basically, recently I've had to go on a limited diet. So I found out, like, so basically I started getting acid reflux.
Okay.
And I didn't want to go on medication because I was reading online, like, all, like, some negative side effects and stuff like that. So I decided to change my diet. But the diet that I have to follow in order to get rid of it is very restricted. So it's like no gluten and no dairy.
Yeah.
And no chocolate and stuff like that. So it's very limited. So I was able to,
let's not call it very limited.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess that whenever you say, tell me how it feels like when I'm diagnosed with reflux and I don't want to go on medication. That's the circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
This diet's very limiting.
Yeah. I did do some thought work and I wrote down some positive ways to look at it. Mm-hmm. And I had that written on a sheet of paper that I was trying to carry with me, but I just wasn't practicing it enough. So it's hard for me to get it in my head. Like, I just feel really trapped all the time, like, by the diet. And then
diet's not trapping you. Do you know what's trapping you? You know what you need to tell yourself? You know what's exactly trapping you?
My thoughts.
My thoughts about the diet is trapping me.
Right.
My thoughts that somehow someone's making me do this is trapping me. You're choosing all of it. You're choosing the trapping. You're choosing the restriction. You're also choosing to do this instead of that. It's like, yeah, I don't want to be on medication. And the price I pay is I don't eat all of these foods. And the other price that I pay is I've got to mourn them. I've got to do my work around letting them go. I have to put less, I'm going to have to learn how to have them be less valued in my life. I've got to start focusing on what I'm gaining for myself instead of what I'm losing. Like, that's what this diet's doing. You think it's limiting you. It's actually opening up every bit of food work you probably need to do for yourself.
Okay.
fun, is it? It would be so much better if Crane was like, I choose this because I want better health and never have acid reflux. That's going to suck in the face of chocolate.
Sorry, my daughter just came into the room. I can't talk right now, honey. Sorry.
I'd be like, get out! On the last call, Logan came in right before, and I was like, y'all are going to have to wait. What do you need, baby tiger?
So there are a lot of positive things about it. First of all, I did it for 2 weeks, and I managed to get rid of a lot of my symptoms. So it did work. So that's really good. And I did notice I could have treats, like I could have exceptions, and it wasn't going to get me back to reflux right away, which is good. Okay. It's also a pretty healthy way to eat. So, you know, a lot of vegetables, very clean foods, like you have to make a lot of foods from scratch and that sort of thing. There's lots of good things about it. But
so Those are all the thoughts that we want to have when it's easy to have them, like right now.
Right.
Your rational brain is like, you know, it's Sunday, I'm going to food prep and, you know, like it's going to do all the things. But what I want you to do is in the moment when it feels bad and it feels restricting, that you like say, oh, and this is the part where I start uncovering the real work I need to be doing around food. Because the real work you need to do around food isn't the diet. That's just going to help the reflux.
Mm-hmm.
The real work we want to do around food is the drama that comes up when you are prioritizing your body and your health over taste and desire and want. And I think what happens is a lot of times is we just want to feel better about our choices rather than being like, I don't need to feel better about my choices. You know what? I want to feel like shit so I can understand why I feel like shit about my choices. So I can go to work on that part. All of that will feel better when you start understanding like what's happening in the moment when it feels restricted, trapped, and terrible. Like, what am I thinking in those moments? Why right now? Like, get curious about why am I feeling this now? It's just a feeling created by my thoughts about this. And I don't need to feel better right now. I need to experience what I'm thinking and feeling to solve for it later. That's how we get those urges under control.
And maybe have that sheet of paper so I can read it and remind myself.
We're not changing our thoughts when those things happen.
Okay.
We feel trapped. Tell me when you felt trapped this week. Or restricted or whatever, or unfair, any of the feelings that come up when we are doing gluten-free, dairy-free. I forget what the other thing frees.
Well, both my partner and I have been having a pretty rough week because I've been really, really stressed out. So I've been eating for comfort. And part of that is also, I think, the restriction, like trying to eat the things that I'm not supposed to have because, hey, I've been feeling better and now I can eat this or that. Specifically chocolate.
Don't blame it on the restriction.
Yeah. I think I really wanted chocolate this week. So, anyway, now my reflux symptoms are starting to come back. So today I feel like a bit of, you know.
Forget today.
Yeah.
When I had the thought, I really wanted it. All right. This is where we're at. This is going to happen again. The problem is not gluten-free, dairy-free. And the problem is not chocolate. You know what the problem is?
That I wanted it.
No, that when you really want it and you feel deprived, that your action line isn't feel deprived.
I'm not sitting with that feeling.
You're not sitting with that feeling at all. You're not sitting there going, how's it feel in my body right now? This may last an hour. It's okay.
It's true. I've just been giving in. Like this week, I've been making plans and not following them. So
that is because like this, what happens here when our action line has to be sit with it, It's because you keep thinking this diet is causing deprivation. There was so many times, I want you to watch this video, so many times where you talked about the gluten-free, dairy-free, all of that, this is what's causing, it's causing me to feel restricted, it's causing me to feel trapped, it's all these things. So if gluten-free, dairy-free can do that, then chocolate can cause you to feel excited. It can cause you to things. It never does. The only way you're ever going to really know that you're in control of all of it and that you actually can sit there is when the food is no longer the problem. The thought line needs examining. What am I thinking right now? I know I really want it, but why? It's because I keep telling myself this is unfair, or this is restrictive, or this is depriving. And drop into it. Yeah, I feel very deprived right now, and that's okay. It's going to take me some time to get used to just not eating it. Doesn't matter if I want it. And I'm just going to tell you, it's going to feel like shit, and that's okay. I just don't want it feeling like shit because you're sitting there and telling yourself, I feel deprived because this is unfair, rather than I feel deprived because of how I'm thinking.
Right. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. You can do this.
Yeah.
In the mornings when your rational brain is in check, that is when you remind yourself, here are all the reasons why I'm doing this. This is all the reasons why in the moment of deprivation, I really want to remember in those moments when I'm feeling deprived and I'm telling myself these things, that we're paying the price to not be on meds.
Right. And I feel like over time, over time it has gotten better. Like I have enjoyed the foods more and tried to like take pleasure in what I can eat, you know? Mm-hmm. So it has gotten better over time, but I need to keep practicing those positive thoughts in the morning I need to
stick to sit with negative thoughts and negative feelings in the moment you want it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be in touch to get out of the discomfort.
Okay. Sounds good. All right.
You can do this. My niece, who's 18, she just got diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis. And so she is, can you imagine being 18 and a senior in high school and suddenly she's already gluten-free because it makes her shit her pants. Like, legit shit her pants. She's so much like me. My sister-in-law teases and says, Lexi got your colon. She has your whole stomach. Because I had the same problems in high school. And now she's got RA. And so she can't have sugar. She can't have gluten. She can't have sugar. She can't have salt. Like, other day I looked at her and I said, what do you mean? And she was like, she just looked at me and she said, not a lot. She was like, but I have so much pain when I eat these foods. Like, her compelling reason is like, I don't want the pain.
Yeah.
And I get it. Like, and I think you have to remind yourself, I'm choosing to not be in pain. I'm choosing not to be in pain.
Mm-hmm.
You can do this. I know you can.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye.
Y'all will never know how many times I have shit my pants in my life. I got so many. Like, most people have like one shit their pants story. I'm like, what level of funny do you want? I got them all. Sylvia. Don't forget to raise your hand if you want to get coached, you guys. How it works. Hey, Sylvia. Hi.
You got me?
I do.
Yay. So, hello.
Hi.
You are everything to me right now. So.
Well, thank you. I wish I could get my son and husband to say the same.
You hang in there long enough, they're going to. Whenever they get to the back end of this, they're going to see that. But, so long story short, I started out with you about a year ago, and I got a breast cancer.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, I'm not going to cry here. So I went through all that crap and found you at about the time that I was going through surgery. Went through surgery, chemo, radiation. And I just listened to your podcasts, watched you every day, and I thought, you know, I know that you have the mental mindset that I needed to get over and succeed. And so I decided that I was not going to, and I was really overweight. I decided at that point I was not going to use cancer as an excuse to blow up, literally, just eat my way out of it.
Yeah.
And so went through cancer, radiation, lost 40 pounds with you.
Wow. Yeah. All that?
Yes, ma'am.
Wow. Okay. Because
I knew that it was in the way that I was looking at things. And so went through that, survived all that, lost 40 pounds, went back to work. And then right after I got back to work, had a car accident, was a passenger in a vehicle where I had a TBI.
Oh,
well, that, yeah. So I have been fighting that since September. Recently just had reconstructive surgery. And whenever I say recently, I mean in the last week, for the breast cancer. And I just know, I hear my little brain in the thoughts in the background wanting to use this as, and being an asshole to myself as an excuse to eat.
Why are we being an asshole to ourselves?
Well, I hear the thoughts coming up and I'm going, we're not going to do that. We are not going to eat our way through this. We are going to continue on the path that we've been on. That was a rational part of my brain thinking that. And so I'm sitting here and did not realize really. And I think I learned a lot through all of this to learn that there are a lot of things on the front end of stuff that doctors don't tell you, because if they did, you'd run like hell. You'd never want to do it.
Okay.
And one of the things in this reconstructive surgery is the drains that I've got coming out of me and the extensiveness of all the surgery. So what I thought was not going to be any big deal. And I know you've had breast reconstructive, or not breast reconstructive, but breast surgery before a couple of times.
Yeah.
That you could talk to, yeah, exactly. You could talk to this and help me maybe figure out a way to deal with. So it was a reconstructive where they've done, they did a reduction and a lift.
Okay.
And so everything's being rearranged.
Yeah.
I'm cut from underneath my arm all the way to the front on both sides, plus the boob itself being cut.
Yes.
And I've got drains coming out both sides.
Yes.
And we're in the gift of fat right now. And I'm to the part where we're talking about being, the only thing I can do right now that they've allowed me to do as far as doctors are walk. And that's four times a day, very limited.
Yes.
Certainly not what I was doing before the surgery. And my whole big goal right now is to, I want to say I want to get through the month of December, because normally I would just eat my face off in December. I don't want to just go through the month of not gaining, not losing. I'd like to do something because I've always been, I've had all these goals and I've attained so much in the last year in spite of everything that's been thrown at me. I don't want to lose momentum.
Do you know that momentum and weight loss are not tied together?
No.
They're not. You know what momentum is?
The ability to just move. Once something keeps moving, to keep moving. Or so I thought.
Momentum is a feeling.
Okay.
It's not generated by weight loss. What is weight loss?
Actually losing weight.
It's either a circumstance or it's a result.
This is where sometimes I just like feel like I'm a baby.
No.
Because I hear you and I'm going, what?
Let me tell you why I'm making this, like, let me explain it to you.
Okay.
So you have weight loss, like momentum and weight loss is a fact. Like, I'm going to lose momentum if I'm not losing weight.
Okay.
When there's other goals you could have during this time that absolutely generate momentum. So you can put anything you want in the circumstance line for December, and you get to feel momentum by how you think about it. You just haven't, like, really explored the idea that there might be new circumstances. So in the circumstance line, it's just whatever your goal for December is. Right now, you may not be in the season to lose weight, but you may be in the season to lose mental weight around food, so that when it's time to kick it back up and your body's ready to lose weight, you have no bad habits. You've already engineered your brain to be able to just, like, turn it on, because all you got to do is, like, whatever you need to do. The reason why I'm saying this is a lot of times when you have surgery, especially a big surgery, it is a terrible time to focus on a number creating momentum, because you're not going to control that number at all.
Right.
You're going to have days where you swell. They call it swell hell for a reason. I mean, yes, ma'am. Everybody that has any kind of plastic surgery always knows swell hell's coming.
Yep.
And that's not in your control. But you know what's in your control?
My thinking about it.
You're thinking about it? Your daily planning?
I've missed one day since I've started with you in my 24-hour plans.
If you're doing it, like, I just want you to just, like, think about it. What if in the gift of fat month, like, you're just like, I don't know what's going to happen on the scale. It's so irrelevant, because momentum this month is defined by my plans, paying attention to my 2 to 2. Like, I don't know if you meditate. Maybe you want to, like, do meditation because you can't be exercising like you used to be able to. My 4 walks a day. Like, you come up with the new criteria of what a very healthy December looks like. And, like, and this is now the goal. And then I will promise you, if you're doing those things and they are habitual and you have them on lock, when your body's ready to release weight, you're already doing all the shit you need to be doing. You don't have to retrain yourself. You have momentum in the right area.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I was afraid of not only losing my mental focus totally and just saying, fuck it, and walking the other way, but
how about, I know this month, one of your goals is no fuck it eating. Zero fuck it eats. I can think fuck it. I can want to fuck it, but I won't fuck it.
I've been there already. Two or three times been there already. Yeah.
Like, okay. Like, this month we track how many times we don't give up. Have you ever heard of these little urge jars?
I've had one, and it didn't stick for me, but I could certainly do that.
Call it your fuck it jar. Every time you, like, seriously, I think a lot of us are like, urge jar, but if you were to, like, think, like, every time I don't fuck it, every time that I, like, decide that this is a momentum builder, I get a bead, or I get, like, whatever you want. It doesn't have to be this, but some type of representation that, like, I am not losing ground here.
I'm horrible at not giving myself credit, and I know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's work on that this month.
It's a great idea.
I mean, shit, of anybody that should be giving themselves credit, it should be somebody who's, like, not only had breast cancer and survived, lost weight, had a car accident, now in reconstructive breast surgery. Like, if you don't get credit, who the fuck is going to? That's my question.
I don't know.
The rest of us are like, what are we going to have to do?
I don't even know why I can't give myself credit like that. I mean, I know if that were anybody else, because I feel like if I do, I'm giving myself permission to go back.
No. You're giving yourself permission to go forward. And that's what you got to retrain yourself. When I give myself credit for how I'm showing up, that creates the momentum to keep going. Beating myself down just makes me get confused on what momentum looks like.
I'm going to have to listen to this a couple of 2 or 3 times, I think. in order to really gather everything that we're talking about here. But that's what the reason I wanted to jump on this call so quick is I know that you've had reconstructive surgery or breast surgery. And so you would understand what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know, and you were up and running so fast, or so it seemed.
Yeah, but this surgery was just this particular one was an implant replace. It's like not a big deal. Not that big a deal. But I will tell you, when I had the surgery before this, you weren't in the tribe yet. This was a few years ago. I don't know, maybe 4 years ago, I'm not sure. When I had my lower body lift and thigh lift done all at the same time, and they did my tummy, I literally was cut from the middle of my boobs all the way down to my crotch, all the way around my belly, then down my thighs, all the way to my knees. I did that surgery in one shot.
And actually, that was the next surgery I was thinking about doing. So I'm glad we're talking about it.
Yeah, it's a big one. Just gonna tell you, I was not up and running immediately. There was, I think, 12 drains.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I had drains coming out every orifice of my body, and they didn't get removed for about a month. Like, I had to live with them little bad boys and shower with them and stuff.
Wow.
It was a lot of swelling, a lot of days where, there was a week where I just absolutely couldn't hardly function. I mean, it was just all the things. But during that time, what I really focused on, I was not worrying about, am I going to lose weight? Am I going to maintain or anything? I just didn't get on the scale. I put all of my energy and effort into behaviors and habits that I knew needed to be just as in lock as they were the day that I walked. Like the last day before surgery, I went to the gym and did a huge workout because I knew it was going to be 8 weeks before I could work out again. So I went and worked out, and then I set up what 8 weeks of working out was now going to mean. I meditated every day. I got up and walked around the house, and I told myself, and that is exercise today. I stayed really focused on telling my brain how we were going to think about everything, because I knew that if I did not manage my brain around how we were going to think, I was going to feel like I was going backward. I was going to feel terrible things. Just that's all it is.
Okay.
You get
again, I'm going to have to listen to this again. I'm glad we talked about that because that's also exactly where I was going next. Tummy tuck, lower body lift with the thigh thing. Hearing you talk about it, I'm going to have to do some long, hard thinking about that one.
Yeah.
Because I know what
the only thing is, question if you want the tummy tuck involved, maybe go back for it. It's a little more expensive because you have to pay anesthesia and stuff again. Like there's that cost, but looking back, what I would have done is separate out the upper body from the lower body, because I mean, I hardly knew how to get in and out of bed because you're rendered useless practically from your ass down, because everything you do pulls on those scars. And then when you don't even have your stomach muscles to help, you don't even realize how much your core is helping you until they have been cut and sewn together. So it was a lot. Thank God I had a strong upper body, because I literally crawled on my hands. So I could get around a bed in just my hands, like nobody's business, but I had to. So if I had did it over again, I would have probably just gone back and then had the tummy tuck. So I didn't think it was that bad. It just was only bad because I had all that other stuff going on along with it.
Yeah, so I went and got this chair. It's one of those electric lift chairs that helped me get up and get down because I knew I wasn't going to be able to use my arms.
I wish I'd have thought of that.
Yeah, well, so again, I'm glad I'm talking to you because, yeah, these are things that doctor didn't tell me before all of that.
You know, I tell you, one of the best places to go is look on, go to forums where there's plastic surgery forums where people talk about their actual experience. They will give you all the tips you need. But doctors, they have patients that do that stuff, but they don't go home with them. They don't really know what's going on there. They know medically what to tell you, but they can't tell you all that because most of the doctors haven't been through that surgery. And every patient is different and stuff. So I don't think that they're trying to hold information from us. I think it's just that every situation is so unique. And we have a lot of girls in the tribe. You should ask. There's a lot of them now that have had very similar surgeries to me. We can all tell you, like, yeah, this is what happened. And this is what helped me. This is the things I did to make it easier. You know, all that kind of stuff. There's all kinds of tips and tricks and hacks in the tribe now about it.
Well, girl, if I didn't have you, I hate to even think where I'd be right now. So
let's just not even think about it. How about that?
Love you.
You have a good one. Love you too.
Bye. Bye.
And heal fast.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, Tina. Hello. I knew it was going to be you.
Hello. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. I'm spending my whole afternoon with you. I'm so delighted by this.
I know. I just feel like I'm just like hanging with the tribe today.
Yeah, I'm totally into it. So since our last call, I've been doing a lot better with planning and assessing. I got back on the accountability train with an accountability partner, and that's been really helpful. And I have some data, so I'm noticing some patterns. So I wanted to talk about that.
All right. Let's have it. You know, so, I love me some data.
Right. So, I switched jobs. So I used to have that crazy travel job.
Yeah.
And now I don't. Now I have an office job where I go to the same place, do the same thing, not the same thing, but I'm not traveling. So I have, a lot more stability and a lot more ability to plan. And so my days are fine as far as like breakfast, lunch, and snacks. At work, I seem to find now that, my evenings is where I overeat, especially at dinner.
Why is that?
Well, when in my worksheets, a lot of the thoughts that come up is, it doesn't matter, which I think is really, like my brain's code for, I'm tired of making, like being intentional. Like I do, like when I'm working during the day, I'm really good at like pausing and noticing and stopping for a few minutes, noticing if I'm full or not, and then making the decision to either eat more or not. At dinner, I just like plow through whatever is on my plate. And then, so I don't take the time to notice. So I don't slow down. So I think.
So why not just serve yourself less?
Well, that's my plan for tonight.
Okay.
I'm going to use a smaller plate, going to serve myself less. Other strategies that I've talked about with my accountability partner is like also maybe as I'm meal prepping, like just meal prep my dinners too.
I mean, I think you have tons of strategies that you, I know that you're smart enough to come up with a bajillion good ideas. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Is that the only problem though? Is it just overeating at dinner? I'm just eating too much.
Yeah.
If that's really the only problem, then I would honestly just go with strategies first to see if it gives you a behavior change.
Yeah.
If let's say that you do the strategy though, let's say we make it on a smaller plate. Are you going to be wanting to go back when the experience is over?
No, I'm pretty good about like in my mind and sort of my self chatter about things is to, okay. This is the plate you're having and like you will definitely have leftovers because I made the dinner and I usually plan dinners for leftovers because that's usually what I take then for the next day is like you will get to eat more of this. Like
okay.
You don't need to have drama about like not getting more.
Okay. So your thoughts are really good there.
Yeah, and I think another thing you asked, like, is that the only problem? I think what I'm noticing is just about like the mental fatigue that comes at the end of my day. Like it's a new job. I'm having some like my learning curve, like it's, and I've been there 4 weeks. So like I'm getting into a rhythm. Like I'm having some patterns. My commute is pretty long and I feel I'm working on my thoughts around my commute and I'm working on.
What are your current thoughts?
This sucks. I don't like this.
Yeah, we got to clean that up because otherwise what's happened is you're just increasing the desire for relief. I mean, you already have a new job where your brain is already having to work harder than it's used to right now.
Yeah.
So your brain is naturally going to want to be tired at night. And then if you spend your commute focused on it sucking and whatnot, then what you're doing is you're just increasing the amount of work required for you to eat intentionally.
Yeah.
The last thing you're going to want to do is be super intentional when you get home.
Right.
And you know, right now I would just be like, yeah, of course I'm tired. It's a new fucking job. It's a commute I'm not used to. This is all the reasons why I'm so tired, but we're not going to use it as an excuse to eat anymore. Yeah. Like, I think you just have to kind of transition that, you know, like I've watched myself. I'm onto my patterns. I don't need to be like, oh, so much better than my other job. Like, I think we have to get out of the habit of wanting to think better. Like, like right now, I just want you to be like, okay with, yeah, of course this is like hard. Mm-hmm. It would be hard to start doing a new job and change my routine and stuff, but I'm seeing my successes here. Yeah. I know I'm going home mentally wore out. I can see it in my eating patterns. So I'm going to put some strategies in place there.
Yeah.
And I'm also going to watch my brain like wildfire in my commute, because that was the one place where you were like, well, I think this commute's probably the, like, it's not teeing me up for much success.
Yeah. Commute. And I also do some on-call stuff. And last week during the week was my on-call. So like, I know I just had some like underlying anxiousness about, ooh, if I'm going to get called out and how that's going to look and what's going to happen. And,
so rather than being anxious about it, I just want you to be in the mindset of, I don't need to be anxious. I need to figure out what my strategies are going to be.
Yeah. Like, well, the first time I did it, so I was trying to give myself a lot of space to just sort of note it. Like, well, my therapist, that's what we're working on, is noticing things. Mm-hmm. So I have been doing a lot more intentional noticing and a lot less judging. I dropped something in my fridge a few minutes ago. Like, as I was listening, I was like, oh, you're such a dummy. And I said, no, sometimes you drop things. You're like, this is nothing about your intelligence. Like,
this is human.
Right.
I believe other humans drop things, even smart ones.
Right. I've been trying to be a lot more conscious about the thoughts that I'm having. And I think I do a pretty good job throughout the day. And then it seems like when I get home, I just feel, I feel worn out. And so it's harder to consistently do it when I'm tired.
I think what you have to do is, there's a two-pronged approach to this. The first thing is to understand you're going to come home worn out at first.
Okay.
So we need to figure out how we're going to react to worn out. Rather than trying to change worn out, let's just get really good at coming home worn out with a new reaction. Right now, the reaction is to plow through dinner and get immediate relief.
Right.
I would rather you just come home and just admit you're worn out. Like, I am worn out. I don't need to get away from it. Like, I need to, like, yeah, of course I'm worn out. And here are the reasons why.
Yeah.
This job is new. If you talk to yourself about it that way, that's more experiencing worn out rather than what you're doing, which is, I'm just so worn out, I need this worn out part to end. I need to get the relief of the food. And then I'll just have to figure it all out after that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we want to move into that. Then once you start understanding, like, of course I'm worn out for these reasons, write them down. You don't have to write them down in that moment, but at some point I want you to write them down.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to examine, because they're all going to be thoughts.
Okay.
Some of them will serve you and some of them won't. So like, this is a new position. Like, you know, it would be logical to be extra tired and worn out when you're doing a new job.
Mm-hmm.
But here's one that sucks. My commute is long and hard.
Yeah.
No wonder I'm worn out, because if I'm going to spend, how long is your commute now?
About an hour each way.
Yeah. So if I'm going to spend 2 hours of my day subtly throwing shade and thinking how terrible it is,
mm-hmm.
of course I would be worn out. That's part of the unnecessary suffering I can probably start working on.
Yeah. Well, and now that I've been there a little while, because I have these on-call shifts, I some days have to drive, but now that I've been there, I have a rhythm. And so I'm going to be starting to take the train, which just means like part of the feeling worn out is I just traffic, like driving is not something that relaxes me. It's something that consciously takes
a lot of. What if you could be relaxed? Like driving is not something that relaxes me, as if relaxing has nothing to do with your thoughts. You just told the circumstance that it's all about you. The commute, either like, well, if it was this kind of commute, then it would be relaxing. Like you have nothing to do with it, Tina.
Well, right. Well, no, I guess what I mean by that is driving like takes actual attention. Where
it does, but you said driving can't relax you. I guarantee you there are people that drive right now. Like, I'll give you a good example. Chris used to have an hour-long commute. Mm-hmm. He often would tell me it was the best hour of his day because he'd be leaving a job where he was on all day long, and when he would get home, Logan and I wanted all his attention. Like, puppies would pounce on him the moment he walked into the door. You know what his commute was? His time.
Yeah. Okay.
So, like, I just want to show you there's a possibility that you can drive responsibly and be alert and be relaxed at the same time.
Sure. Okay. Yeah.
You have to figure that out, though.
Yeah.
You probably have something going on. What are you going to be doing on that train? I'm curious what you'll be doing on the train.
I'll probably read.
Yeah. So your brain is probably like, this is not relaxing. If I wasn't in this car, I could be reading.
Yeah.
It's like your brain is probably like thinking, basically, this is a waste of my time.
Yeah. Or something along the thought. Yeah. It's like, this is not that it's frustrating or stressful, but like, this is a waste of my time.
Yeah. And then you end up stressing yourself out and frustrating yourself by focusing on this drive, wasting your time. And that is what does.
I have been trying to think about it as like, you know, because I know that you've talked about listening to podcasts, or that could be like a self-development time. And so I've been thinking about that too. Although after I'm a therapist, so after my work day, like I don't know. I just think I need to find something that.
I'd be listening to some trash.
Right. One of my new favorites.
Do what?
My dad wrote a porno is one of my new favorite podcasts.
I don't know that one, but I'll have to look it up.
Yeah, you'll like it.
But I mean, I would like literally, if that's what you need, listen to some. It's just like, I would give you a good example today. I ran for an hour and a half. I feel like I need an Olympic medal at this point. And I listened to self-development the whole time. And so then I was going to go to the shower and I was getting ready to queue up more self-development and stuff. And I was like, fuck me. I got to coach all day. Like, my brain was like, it's a no. I put on my sappy ass 80s music playlist, and that's what we listened to in the shower. And we got ready and I was like, I don't want to think about nothing. I want to like relive the 80s in its greatness.
Okay.
You have to be on all the time.
Yeah. I think I am suffering from that, and I'm going to try to chill that out, because I think it will give me some ease for when I get home and then want to eat.
Yeah. Let's just stop the suffering. It's all self-induced anyway. Yeah. I think you're going to be fine. I think you're so smart, Tina, and you're so on to yourself, and you just... You're so good at doing all of that. And like, just look for the little ways of like, where am I still trying to make my feelings beholding to my circumstance line?
Yeah, that's a good thing to think about. Mm-hmm. Say that again.
Where am I making my feelings beholding to the circumstance line? Like, my commute stresses me out. Can't relax on my commute. Like anytime you have like a thought that has a feeling in it, I just pull the feeling out of that thought, put it in the feeling line, and ask myself what's going on. So like, if I can't relax, I would be like, put unrelaxed in the feeling line. Why can't you? And then that would get you back to, well, I'm wasting my time.
Right.
You know,
okay.
Or something along those lines. That's how you find that stuff out. That's why you'll see me unless somebody's really new to the model. If they give me a sentence with a thought, or with a feeling in it, I'll just pull the feeling out and then make me tell them why they feel that way. Because whatever the real problem is usually right there.
Yeah. Okay. I think I'm overcomplicating it. I think I'm looking for a bigger problem.
Yeah, it's so simple. It's staring you in the face. You know, I tell you the reason why most of us want there to be a bigger problem, because step two is eat less food.
Yeah.
Like the next, like, it's like we always want to keep working on step one, identify the problem, figure out the problem, find a thought, do all of, like, it's so, it feels like we're working on our weight loss when we just stay on step one, trying to figure out why we're overeating, rather than like, you know what step two is? Stop that overeating.
Yeah.
That means I get to sit around and just be worn out from the day. What are you talking about? That sucks. It's like, yeah, sit around and be worn out for a little while. And you do that enough, you'll start figuring out why you're worn out.
Yeah. Well, yeah. There's a lot. I mean, just even talking through this with you, I'm thinking about like moments where I caught myself this week thinking something that wasn't serving me and like stopping myself like in my pantry or in my fridge and just like, this is not like, what is this actually going to solve? So, right. I mean, yeah, I just think it just seems like once I sit down for dinner, it's felt like, oh, okay. Like I don't have to worry about this. And that's just not been true. So I'm going to try just eating.
Like maybe sitting for 10 minutes before you eat away from food. And then telling yourself that sentence you just said.
What is this going to serve me?
Or something, you said something like, it wasn't now I get to feel good, but you said something along the lines like, now I
don't have to be so conscious about all of this.
Yeah. What if you just sat on the couch and said that? And be like, the food is over there in a little bit.
Yeah.
If you want to go unconscious even more, you can do that. But it's like, probably could be really unconscious about all of it on the couch just as much as you can be at the dinner table.
Right. Yeah.
Like sometimes we just need to turn our brains off. We just don't have to eat to do it. I think we all forget. You know, every now and then, like, the coaches tease me because, like, at camp and at night, they know exactly what I'm watching. It's always the news. Because it is so far removed from what I do during the day.
Yeah.
It lets me be in delusional land. I get to make fun of how biased they all are. And just, I crack up at just, you know, like you'll see somebody on each news network and telling the same ass story over and over again. Except, you know, except they're comfortable on one network, not comfortable. Like I watch all of it. I watch every channel. And they laugh at me. And I'm like, yeah, but when I'm doing that, I'm not thinking about work. I'm not brainstorming. I'm not doing this. I have to turn it off sometimes. And for me, this is the easy way to be somewhere else for a little while. I don't want to read a book. And I don't want to listen to, I don't even want to read a fiction book.
Yeah.
Well, I want somebody to research.
Because like one of the things that I had been noticing since our last coaching call is like, I have been trying to give myself that permission to like, okay, like you can watch TV, like you can watch the trash TV. And a lot of my overeats came in just like, I have had conditioned myself, or I have a pattern or a habit of if I'm watching TV, I'm having a snack. Mm-hmm. And so like now I'm onto that. And so I don't do that. So then like TV watching doesn't feel relaxing. It seems like another place that I have to like be on to myself.
It will until you're done with the urge part. You just haven't, your brain hasn't gotten out of the urge cycle yet.
So should I keep using that? Like what, like should I keep watching TV or should I try to do something that doesn't give me an urge?
It doesn't matter. I mean, you can do whatever you want. You're probably gonna get the urge no matter what. I mean, to be honest.
Yeah.
But what I try, like, it, this is in the no BS that's coming out, but one of the things is, you know, after, like, your brain is just used to this urge, like, it's going to send this up.
Yeah.
Like, if like watching TV, it's like, well, now it's not as fun because I don't get to check out with food. And it's like, yeah, it won't be fun for a little bit until your brain starts associating that we watch TV to relax. We don't eat and watch TV to relax. It just has to be reconditioned. But if you want to do something else, you know, it's fine. There's no right or wrong on that one. It's just how that works. It's how you want to work it. I don't want you like saying, well, I'm not going to watch TV because I don't want to experience urges.
Right. Yeah. I don't want to do that either. I also know that I could probably pick a different activity and not have the same association for a while.
It would be fine. Yeah. You can do something different if you want to and just be like, this is how I would just tell myself, this is how I'm working on my urges. I'm going to be doing something different. Because even when you decide not to watch TV, your brain's going to be like, oh, we usually eat. It's still going to have the urge to go back to whatever you're doing. So.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And the nice thing is I'm only a few weeks into this. So I feel like any sort of habits that aren't serving me are going to, I'm identifying them and I'm trying to clean them up now.
Just identify them, clean them up, a couple of them. You know, if you don't overwhelm yourself with trying to do too many, don't wear your brain out trying to do too many at once. Clean up some obvious ones that are easy for you. Start with the easy. I always say low-hanging fruit comes first.
Yeah.
Start with those, get some momentum, feel good about it, and then move into the next one. They'll all be sitting there waiting for you. And the more you start just cleaning a few up, we don't always have to clean all of them up. We can clean a few up, gain some traction, learn how to be successful with them, add the next one on. Because it's much easier to do them one at a time and have all your energy and all your like mental faculties going into the one. Mm-hmm. When you do a bunch, you're spreading your bets. You know, it's like.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's something that I've been working on, especially this last week, of knowing like, you have a new job. Like, this is not like it's the holidays. You have a new job, like get through December and like notice.
Get through December without eating our face off. Let's get through December.
Yeah. Well, and I think, I mean, I'm definitely not eating my face off. It's like, I
don't think you are. I want the rest of them to hear that.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not just me and you, hon.
Yeah. Well, you don't, it is really interesting when I do catch myself that, when I get to the point where I'm asking myself, what am I actually trying to do? What do I actually need in this moment? Mm-hmm. A lot of shit comes up. So
I can tell you're fixing to cry.
This always happens.
What you do, like in that moment, write that stuff down. Give yourself permission to not work on it in the moment.
Yeah.
Just writing it down is working on it.
I think that's where sometimes it trips me up. It's like, oh, if I'm noticing it, I have to work on it right now. And that is not true.
No. I work with a coach. And I talk to her once a week. Mm-hmm. And I Slack her when things come up. And we work on it when we talk.
Okay.
I don't even work on it. Sometimes I do. Sometimes I send her stuff. And I'm like, oh, you know, I decided to really think on this. But most of the time when I notice things come up, I don't like drop into a model. Like, where's my paper and whiteboard? I notice.
That's my problem. It's like I immediately go to a model and I'm like, not actually experiencing the situation.
Yeah, I think it's fine if you do, and I also think it's completely fine and normal if you don't. But what I encourage you guys to do is when you notice something, you parking lot it at least. Put it in the parking lot of like, I really want to think on this when I have my energy and effort. Like I sometimes will do some work, like a lot of times in the mornings on the couch, about things that happened the day before or a couple of days. Like in my planner, a lot of times I do is something will happen and I'll get my planner out and I'll write the question down like 3 days later in that blue box to remind myself, come back to this when you're not so emotionally charged. Ask yourself this question when you're not feeling so much resistance or pain around it. Come to the question when, like, you have a cup of coffee, a cat, the fireplace, and you really want to think on it.
Okay.
I do a lot of that. I think one of the things that a lot of you mix up is the thought work is not so heavy. I don't think of it as so heavy. I It's like, I'm just doing a thought download. I'm just doing a model. I'm just asking a question, and I don't have to do it all today.
Yeah.
Good thing about problems is they'll always be there, ready to be worked on whenever you're ready to work on them.
Mm-hmm.
Until then, awareness around them and watching them and just kind of seeing the interplay in your life.
Mm-hmm.
So many of us watching them solves so much of it.
Yeah.
Eventually we just get tired of watching ourselves do it, and we naturally shift out without ever having to dig deep.
Yeah. Okay. This was useful. Thank you.
I'm glad to have seen you, sweetheart. All right. You have a good night. Happy Christmas, holidays, whatever all y'all do. I don't even know anymore. We're all celebrating something. So
solstice is my thing as an ageless and timeless witch. So
there you go. How about happy solstice? Oh, Logan would like that, actually. You know, my son is like all into the moons and the sun, and he's like all into the stuff. So happy solstice and merry witchies.
Thank you. You and yours.
All right. Bye. All right. That's all I got today, guys. I actually am now 11 minutes late for another meeting. So I'm hopefully they're waiting patiently. So for those of you who raise your hand, try to catch one of our office hours. I think Kathy has office hours on Wednesday. Don't forget tomorrow night. I'm going to do it tomorrow night, 6 p.m. I'm going to do that Facebook Live on some relationship stuff. It's going to be a quickie. I have this one specific concept that I just want to talk about, and I want to do it in the live format just in case people have questions rather than doing it as a weekend motivator. So y'all have a good one. I'll talk to you next month, my queens. Bye, y'all.